I appreciate the reality that's in the resurrected Lord. It's not about the Easter bunny. It's not about the flood of paganism that's taken our country. Shout amen.
Amen.
I said it's not about the flood of paganism that's taken our country, infiltrating our churches, and bogging up our young children's minds. It's about a real living Lord. Romans chapter 1, reading verse 1 through 6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, Paul said, and declared, speaking of Jesus, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I'd like to speak this morning on the subject by the resurrection from the dead. Or something comes to my mind while we was in Sunday school. I could say this morning a question, where's the resurrection? Paul introduces himself in the book of Romans as a servant of Jesus Christ. He identifies himself as one that was called and separated unto the gospel of God. That gospel had been promised aforetime by the prophets through the Holy Scriptures. But this gospel that Paul is talking about is concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Concerning Jesus, who Paul said was declared. And that word declare means to make clear. It means to appoint, to decree, to specify, determine, or ordain. He was specified to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. By the fact that He came forth from the dead.
Yes.
A good many years ago, there was a commercial presented at one of the fast food restaurants. And I didn't have a TV, but I was told about what they'd seen, and you'd see posters at this certain restaurant concerning this. And what the advertisement brought forth was this little elderly lady apparently had went to several fast food hamburger restaurants, and they would make their big boast of what percentage of beef was in their hamburgers. But she would be seen in the poster or in the advertisement holding a hamburger, and she would ask the question, where's the beef? I've heard a lot of talk about the beef, she would say. I've heard a lot of talk about it, but apparently they cooked it all away. And she gets her hamburger and she holds very much bun. She has a lot of lettuce there. She has a lot of tomato there, a lot of onion, a lot of mayonnaise, mustard, ketchup. But she's looking under the bun and she's saying, where's the beef? Now, our Christian society and we as Christians must give evidence of a resurrected Lord. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by the fact that He come forth out of that grave.
Yes.
I'm declared this morning to be born again by the power of God, by that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. I'm declared to be a child of God by that same resurrection. But there's a lot of talk about the resurrection, and seems to be a lot of talk more on this day of the year than any other day, bar all the foolishness about Easter eggs and all of that. There's still a lot of talk about the resurrection. But there is a society out there that does not know the risen Christ. There is people in our nation that knows very little about the Word of God. There are those that have not been church. They've not seen the Word of God. They don't know the Scriptures. And their only outlet to find life is coming through those that testify of life. And if we tell them there's a resurrection of Christ from the dead, if we sing to them that there's a resurrection of Christ from the dead, if we write to them about a resurrection from the dead, we're going to have to provide proof. Or not, they're looking at us like that little old lady was, looking up under that bun, and she's saying, "Where is the beef?" Our society is screaming this morning saying, "Where is the resurrection?" We can talk about the resurrection. We can find proof about the resurrection in the Word of God. But the only way we'll accept that proof is because we accept it through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we have no life in God. It's only by faith. But listen to me this morning. We've got to go farther than convincing people of having faith, because if they don't know the Christ, they don't have faith. They've got to see what we're talking about in a reality. When those two men from Emmaus come walking down through there, Jesus in another form begin to talk to them. They did not recognize Jesus. Their faces were downtrodden. They were sad. They said, "Well, they said He rose again, but we've not seen Him. We thought this was our hope. We thought everything was in this, but we've not seen Him." And He began to open the Scriptures to them. And the Bible says they sat down to eat, and He broke the bread and blessed it. And then their eyes were opened, and then He vanished out of their sight. These men said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" I no doubt there's someone listening this morning. Your heart is burning within you that all this talk about a resurrection is true. But those men from Emmaus did not believe it until their eyes were opened, until they saw proof with the Christ of breaking that bread. They must have looked down and saw the scars in His hand. Their eyes were opened. Many did not believe when they gave reports of Jesus being rose from the dead. But when they saw Him theirself, then they begin to believe that He's living and He rose from the dead. I've got to provide inside of my testimony a reality that I'm not just talking about a historical fact. This fact that I'm having is a reality. It's not just a story. It is a reality living inside of me.
Yes, sir.
He's alive. He's alive. Indeed, He is alive. Where's the resurrection? By the resurrection from the dead, I have life this morning. By the resurrection from the dead, I have joy this morning. I have peace this morning. I have a reality.
Yes.
A reality.
Yes.
A reality living inside of me. A witness. Imagine with me. It's kind of funny. It's cute, I suppose. The little old lady Where's the beef? Come to the church with me. We're serving the risen Lord. Jesus Christ is alive.
Right.
You've not showed me Him all week on the job.
All right. Help. Help.
Oh, I've seen your standard. Come on here.
God help us.
I see you dressed right. I see you dressed apart. I hear all the words. I hear all the religious talk.
Come on, brother.
But where's the resurrection? By the resurrection from the dead, we are quickened.
Yes.
We already heard this scripture in Sunday school, but listen to it again. Romans 8 and 11. But if the Spirit, Paul said, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He said, if that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead not just visits you,
right.
He visits some folks on Sunday morning. He visits some on Sunday night. He visits some on Wednesday night, on Saturday night. He visits, but if He dwells in you,
right.
If He lives in you, He has His abide in you. That same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I thought that perhaps Paul was speaking here of the rapture, of the resurrection, of coming forth when Jesus comes. But if you look at Romans chapter 8 closer, he's not dealing with the rapture. He's dealing with life in Christ.
Right.
And when he says this, if that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, Paul said in the beginning of Romans, it was the Spirit of holiness. A Spirit of holiness that raised up Christ from the dead. That carcass was laid in that tomb. He did not fall into a coma on that cross. He died. Somebody said he didn't die, and so the resurrection was a fake. They gave that report, but the report is false because if he's just in a coma, how about you trying to be beat and put a crown of poisonous thorns on your head and then put spikes in your hand and your feet and stripes upon your back until the insides start coming out and then jug a spear in your side and forthwith come blood and water and see if you ain't dead.
Right.
He's dead.
Yes, he was.
But that Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, raised him up from the dead. You ought to be smiling at me this morning. Amen. We just got through singing about He's alive.
Yes.
I mean, He's alive after the song is finished. He's alive after the piano is not being played. He's alive when we sat down on our pews. He's alive regardless of where we're at this morning. He's alive. And that same Spirit that raised Him up, Paul said, shall also quicken your mortal body. I'm made alive in this flesh that I live in. I'm made alive that I can walk in newness of life and walk in the joy of the Lord. I'm made alive. Yes, sir, there is resurrection and it's relevant in the child of God.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Being we're quickened by that same Spirit, Christ is our life. I don't want nobody, Brother Craig, I don't want nobody looking at me and saying, where's the resurrection?
God help us.
Where's the resurrection?
God help us.
Listen to me this morning. Is your resurrection in reality or is it in a plastic egg here behind a stump under the grass?
Is it real inside of you? When the storms of life begin to blow and the heavy rains of temptation and trial and tribulation begin to fall upon you, when the disgusting warfare of the enemy begins to charge against you, do you have resurrection power abiding in you where you can stand the test and you can look the devil right in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. Though I walk through the lonely valley, though I drink from the bitter cup, I'll stand right flat on my feet and look him right in the eye and say, my foot's on the rock. My mind's made up because I've been quickened. I've been quickened by his Spirit. And he is my life. In Colossians 3, 1 and 4 through 4, he said, Paul said, if ye then be risen with Christ. Risen with Christ. Christ risen from the dead. If you be risen, you also, if you be risen through faith in him, through his power, through that same Spirit, the Spirit of holiness that raised him from the dead, you also, you've been risen. You've come forth from the death of sin. You've come forth from your sins and your trespasses. You've been resurrected from that coffin of dying. You've been resurrected from that decaying of sin. You, if you be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Where's the proof? The proof is where my affections are. Where's the proof? The proof is where my desires are. Where's the proof? It's in the reality of what I love. For ye are dead and your life... Oh, wait a minute. We're talking about being resurrected now. He's saying you're dead. That old man indeed is dead. He's no longer alive. He is dead. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life.
Right.
Christ, who is our life. Now, it takes more than just lip service. You might think it's a little hard, but I told them in the prison, and I'll tell you this here, and I've said it a few other places, why don't we put our heart where our mouth is? I don't want to present myself as a pessimistic or as a negative individual. But Brother Crane, isn't it true? We need to face facts. We need to face facts. Our nation is vastly turning into a non-Christian nation. Not by what we're hearing. We're hearing plenty of religious talk. We're hearing plenty of resurrection talk. But by what we're seeing is in resurrection reality. In resurrection reality. And the hardest mission field that's been known to humanity, if the Lord don't soon come back, I believe will be the mission field that America turns into. And why would it be a hard mission field? Because a mission field that is occupied by the majority of apostates will be harder to reach than a mission field of people that have never heard the gospel. You can go to foreign countries where they've never heard the gospel. They're hungry. They're starving. They've realized that their gods and all that they worship has not resolved their problems. When you tell them that there is a God who created the heavens
created the sun and the moon, to carve the rivers out in place, push the mountains forth, and tell them he's got a son that died and bled blood that you could be redeemed. They're ready to grab on the hope. But you go to a field or a mission field where people have heard the gospel, talk resurrection, talk life, but have turned their backs on that life and been infiltrated by entertainment and the joys of this world and the lust of the flesh, the pride of life and the pride of, and the lust of the eyes. People have been given to those things. You try to tell them that Jesus is the way. They'll say, we tried him and he didn't work. The reality is they didn't really try him. They tried the formalism of it. They tried the hamburger that had more lettuce and tomato and onions on it than it had beef. And so they said, where's the beef? Where's the resurrection? That'd be a difficult, and we find that it is a difficult. Friend of ours left pastoring years ago and went back on the field evangelizing. They said, brother, he said, how's the evangelistic work going? He said, it's going all right, but there's one problem. What's the problem, brother? He said, I cannot find any sinners. Here's the greatest dilemma that we could talk about. Sinners that don't know they're sinners. People that are lost but don't know they're lost because they've been told and coddled that they're all right, yet have no proof of the resurrection living and abiding inside of their life. Y'all don't look as happy as you was looking. Oh, but by the power, by the resurrection from the dead, there is life. You don't have to question. You don't have to question it. It's real. And you don't have to go in the trend and the direction that things are going in today. I don't believe they're going that way, Brother Morgan. See what laws are passed in our governments, and you figure which way it's going. See how one woman in the 60s, wasn't it, managed to get prayer took out of the schools. Where was the resurrection then? Where was the resurrection when prayer was took out of the schools? I'm telling you, it was covered up with onions and tomatoes and lettuce, if you would. It was covered up with all the additives of the meal, but it wasn't in depth with the reality of it. We've got lovely additives this morning. We've got chair, we've got pews, we've got padded pews, and it's marvelous. We've got beautiful music, we've got good singing. We've got suits and ties. Amen. We've got His risen on marquees all throughout the country. But all that's additives. The reality walks out of the door when you walk out. The reality walks on the job when you walk on the job. The reality walks in the shopping center when you walk in the shopping center. The reality is that we were the resurrection from the dead means there is life in the child of God this morning. Excuse me. Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then we shall appear with Him. We're quickened by Him, by the same Spirit. Christ is our life. Then obviously we will live unto Him. We'll live unto Him. 2 Corinthians 5:14-17. Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which should live, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Mary came to the tomb. She couldn't see.
Jesus in there. The stone was gone. They first thought, who's going to roll it away for us? And they found that it was gone. And then she saw who she thought was the gardener. And said, and obviously her face, her eyes were filled with tears, with remorse, because somebody's took my Lord away. She'd been told he's the resurrection from the dead. He's the resurrection and the life, but temporary amnesia gets a hold of her, and it gets a hold of us too, don't it? She said, if you tickle him away, then tell me where he's at. I'll go get him. And Jesus calls her name. And she says, Rabboni, meaning master. Oh, if I can be close enough to him, that when he calls my name, I can return the call with my great master. It's got to be living inside of me. And I've got to be living unto him. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We knew him as far as the flesh goes, and we knew other men by the flesh, but now we don't know him as such. We know him as a resurrected Lord. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 17, another one we've rehearsed already this morning, the Sunday school teacher did. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Again, the story of the resurrection and the Christ being risen from the dead is not sufficient unless it's alive inside of you. It's not sufficient unless it is living inside of you. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then our faith is vain. But does my faith provide evidence that He is risen from the dead? How many went to the sunrise service? One, two, praise the Lord. It was said this morning, some of you did good to get here by 9:45. We did too. Because I was in a hurry to get here, and I thought we wasn't going to be able to get out of the place where we was at for the traffic and such. But we're here. Sunrise service. Reminiscing over Christ raising from the dead at the sunrise. Can I tell you that every day you get up must be a sunrise service to those that you come in contact with? I said it must be, because listen at what Paul's introducing himself. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Skip the parentheses. He goes on to say concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. As far as the flesh goes, He's of the seed of David in that respect. But according to the resurrection, he's declared to be the Son of God with power. I'm not declared to be a Christian this morning because I wear a cross around my neck, or because I wear WWJD on my cap, or I have Jesus on my t-shirt,
or if I have Jesus on my car tag. I'm not declared to be a Christian because I've seen come in the doors of the church Sunday after Sunday. I'm not declared to be a Christian in reality by that. I'm declared to be a child of God by the Spirit of Holiness. By, according to the Spirit of Holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Would you stand? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask myself a question this morning and invite you to ask the same while every head's bowed. The brother plays something on the music. And that question, we opened with it this morning. Where is the resurrection? Where is the resurrection? While you're praying this morning, while the music's playing, God might be dealing with your heart. God might be speaking to you right now. Can you answer that question and say that, well, the resurrection is in my walk. The resurrection is in my speech. The resurrection's in my testimony. Can I point somebody to the Christ this morning that may not be saved, may not know the Lord, may not know this great reality of the resurrection? We have an altar. We have a place to kneel and talk to the Lord concerning what's been said this morning about the resurrection in Sunday school. We have a place to kneel and pray and talk to the Lord concerning what's been said about the question, where is the resurrection? Do you really know Him? Does He really abide in your heart this morning? Have you been delivered from the bondage of sin? Have you been liberated from the hold of sin? Have you been made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ? Oh, do you know the peace of God which passes all understanding? When you're in the quietness of your own solitude and there's no one around, you have that peace abiding. You have that peace abiding inside of you. When there's nobody gathered, when the dark comes on, you have peace in Jesus Christ. Is there one this morning would say, I don't have that peace, but I want to come. I want to pray. I want to talk to the Lord. I want that peace. Would there be one this morning on this Easter Sunday morning?